all three of the readings that you've heard this morning, the one we just read, and the two you heard earlier from Elsie, share this in common. They are about connecting deeply. I suppose in reality there is no story about someone connecting with God physically, more so than the man Jacob who wore God's sweat on his torso and smelled God's breath in his nostrils, right? They wrestled all night long. Now, I honestly don't believe that God really wanted to get away. He delighted that Jacob clung to him night and day. And that same God wants you to cling to him too. He's already promised he's not going to let you go, but he calls you to connect to him deeply, to hold on night and day. The next week, the next year, all life long, don't let him go. I have a friend that I go to lunch with about once a month, a pastor friend. Like myself, he's trying to avoid carbs. He's a little more judicious than I am. We've been going out to the exchange over at the hangar in Long Beach. We walk in, and he always tends to get something salad-based and a bottle of water. And so he'll find what his options are. He says, I'm going to go get this or I'm going to go get that. And I usually respond, well, I'm going to go get that or I'm going to go get this. And it's usually more bread-based, maybe with an adult beverage, sometimes a side of fries. And whenever I say I'm going to go get that or this, he looks at me and he says, well, you do you. Sometimes he'll even throw in that boo. You do you, boo. And what he means by that, ultimately, what he means by that is, you know, you go ahead, you cheat. You eat the carbs and drink the carbs you shouldn't eat or drink, but I won't be judging you as I'm eating my salad. The way he says that, though, I think he'll be judging me while he's eating his salad. I'm not 100% sure. I just kind of get that feeling. But if you've ever said those words, I know many of you have probably heard those words, you do you. Best construction, they might simply mean stand up for that which you know to be true. Stand up for that which you know is right, regardless of what ridicule might come your way. Of course, it's equally true that quite often those words simply mean do whatever you want. Do whatever you desire, regardless of divine commands or eternal consequences. Just do whatever you do you. Now, while there might not be a universal agreement on what those words mean and how they can be used, there is pretty much widespread agreement that that phrase, you do you, was originated by a guy named Funk Master Flex, a DJ, a rapper back in early 2000. I'll be honest with you, I think it kind of precedes that. I think it goes back to the 40s or the 50s. Not the 1940s or the 1950s. No, I just mean the 40s or the 50s. When St. Paul told young Timothy, you do you, the you God created you to be, you do you, the man that Christ Jesus is calling you to be, you do you, the you that the Spirit of God is renewing and transforming you to be. See, you are the handiwork of God. You are created in his own image. You are the pinnacle of creation, a little lower than the angels. Everyone in this room, everyone who sleeps under our moon, everyone still residing within a womb, all of us endowed with the dignity and sanctity that belongs to the children of God, who we are, his own creation. You're not a parasitic species on this planet. You're the indigenous caretakers of this earth, the shepherds of that and stewards of that which God made and said was good. Be who God has created you to be. And yet we know, don't we, that that image has been shattered. With the fall came a crash. And ever since then, our very natures, corrupt and compromised, stained with sin. And so often we find ourselves doing whatever we want, whatever pleases us, regardless of divine commands or earthly consequences. And so God connected to his creation anew, recreating us anew in Christ. God connected to us in Christ through Jesus' incarnation as he became human, the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, the one St. Paul says is the image of the invisible God. You know, he writes those words to the Philippians, a community that young Timothy will pastor one day. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He became man, but his nature, never corrupt, never compromised, not stained with sin. By nature, he is pure and holy, and all he does is holy and pure. And he connects to us not only by his incarnation becoming human, but by his substitution becoming victim for all our guilt, all our sin. He goes to the cross, offers himself in our place. God connects to him your compromises. God connects to him your corruption. God connects to him your stains and your sins. And through faith, he connects Jesus' purity and holiness to you. And he calls you to be who you are in Christ, who the Spirit of God is shaping, transforming, can we say renaissancing you to be. The Holy Spirit is not religious Uber. He doesn't just bring you to Jesus, drop you off, and go on the way to the next customer. He sticks with you, lives inside you, continues to shape and transform you that you might be who he is making you to be. And so connect deeply. And St. Paul in his letter to Timothy reminds us how we do that. Connect to God deeply through the scriptures. Connect to God deeply through heaven's ears. Connect to God deeply through fellow believers. And then you become a connection point for others. Connect to God deeply in the scriptures. As St. Paul is writing Timothy, the very word of God, he reminds Timothy that all scripture is God-breathed. It is useful and profitable for training, equipping, instructing, moving us to live in righteousness. Connect to God deeply by connecting to the scriptures. They speak about life, but they also speak into your life. They are on the one hand an observation deck that allows you to see how God has worked in the lives of others and how you might connect to their story. But they are also the flight deck that equips you and prepares you to live out his story in your life. Connect to God deeply by connecting to the scriptures. Connect to God deeply by connecting to heaven's ears. It's exactly what Jesus was talking about in that final reading, the gospel reading. When he talks about that judge, imagine a judge so jaded, so calloused that he no longer cares about justice. He hates the fact that he has a docket let alone anyone who is on it. And he really doesn't want to do a thing for any of them. But then there's that one woman who keeps on pestering and pestering and pestering. And what does he say? He doesn't say, man, I love her tenacity. He says, she annoys the tar out of me. I think I'll give her justice so she just doesn't wear me out. Jesus' point is not, keep praying to God. He probably really doesn't want to hear you. He gets too many of them to begin with. And yours are no different than anybody else's. But, you know, maybe you can wear them down. That isn't what Jesus is saying. If this judge who hates justice, who is so jaded and so calloused, but eventually will come through, how much more so a God who loves mercy and loves justice and loves you? Go to him in prayer. Connect to the ears of heaven. Call out day and night. And if the answer seems to take a while, if it seems to be not coming through at all, if it's not what you were hoping or expecting, know that he's a God who loves mercy and loves justice and loves you. And invite you to talk to him even about those answers that you're not too sure about. Connect deeply. Connect deeply to the scriptures. Connect deeply to heaven's ears, and connect deeply to fellow believers. You know, St. Paul, before the text, a couple verses before it, when he's talking to Timothy, he says, you know all about me, Timothy. You know all about my way of life. You know about this and that and the other of me. Who's the St. Paul in your life? Who's the mature Christian, or who are the mature Christians that you know about their way of life? And you look to them, and you hope to emulate them, and you know you can go to them for encouragement. You know you can go to them for a shoulder to cry on or a foot on the backside. Who are the St. Pauls in your life? If you don't have any, please connect with Seth or myself. Let's let you connect with some others. But I bet you know a few. Have you let them know what they mean to you? As we connect to the scriptures, as we connect to heaven's ears, as we connect to fellow believers, we become a point of connection for others. So I'm asking you also, who are your Timothys? Maybe not a protege, like the pair in the scripture today. But who are the people that know your story, that know you are connected to God, that are kind of watching you? I bet you got a few. Who are they? Who are your Timothys that you need to write a letter to or speak a word to or walk alongside of as Paul did? Who are the Timothys in your world that as you do Jesus for them? An extension of his love, an extension of his life, an extension of his labor for them. Who through you, we pray, will be connected to something much, much bigger? The Lord Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, we pray that you would strengthen us to connect deeply to you who has connected to us in Christ. May we be the people we have been created to be, the people we have been called in Christ to be, the people that you are continually shaping us to be in the power of your Spirit. Move us to connect to the Scriptures, your life-giving word. Move us to connect to heaven's ears, your invitation for conversation with our God. Move us to connect to fellow believers who can help us through our struggles and on our path so we might connect others to you, to the glory of your holy name, in which we pray. Amen.